This is John Little from DFW's only all-news morning show, the KRLV Morning News. Keep listening. We'll tell you the top three things you need to know every 15 minutes.
And you can count on us for any severe weather information, breaking news, or traffic red alerts immediately when they happen.
Now, the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
And here we go.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday morning, 10:07. Austin has survived the traffic on Central Expressway, and he's made it into the studio.
You know what? You know, all it is, a stall. Just right. A woman stalled.
In the center lane.
And it was backed up for a mile and a half. I was snail crawling at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, man, I thought someone died. I said, this is bad, but I don't see any ambulances. Maybe it's going to clear up. And it was just a stall.
Look, it's happened to all of us, but
people get
it out of the way.
I just said, people, just go around her. It's mm-hmm. not this big a deal. You don't have to slam on the brakes. I don't know. So here I am.
You're disgusted.
I don't understand. And maybe it's as I'm getting older, I don't understand traffic problems. A lot of them can be avoided.
Never will. The science of that is actually
and
pretty
it's not okay. I left at a great time too. I got a little early. Your cell phones.
Oh, Danny says cell phones are to blame.
Well, that's it. But she's stalled
a lot more today than there used to be.
Yeah. This wasn't distracted driving. It was just a bad car that she didn't get out of the way.
And I don't blame her. I blame everyone else around her.
Today is National Junk Food Day. It is a celebration of all things overpriced and unhealthy, or, as the organizers call it, a day of guilt-free indulgence.
Guilt-free. That's the way I like it.
So what is your favorite? There's one recent survey. I looked it up. It puts pizza at number one, America's favorite junk food, followed by ice cream, candy, burgers, fried chicken, chips, fries, and soft drink.
I enjoy all of that.
If you had to give up all of that except for one, what would it be? What would be the one that you would say, the junk food that you would never give up? Brand names are okay, by the way. It doesn't have to be just a general category.
I'd have to go the cheeseburger, man, because there's so many good ones out there. There's so many different ways to make it. You know, the pizza's great, but I think I'm going to give the edge to the burger.
I could do, and I've found out that soft drinks, I've been forced to give those up.
Oh, I quit doing those. I mean, I might have one every once in a blue moon, but there's too much sugar.
Well, I mean, it was Diet Coke. I was addicted.
Yeah,
I truly was addicted, but
I don't know what it is about Diet Coke. So there's a person in the newsroom that just goes through like eight of them a day. Probably the most unhealthy person.
Enjoy those kidney stones.
Yeah.
945-766-1080. What's the one junk food that you're never going to give up? We'd love to hear from you as we get going today with a mid-morning mic check. Mike Austin and Dan Brunoff in studio with us here. Yesterday at this time, Danny, it was identified by a number, but now it has a name. Disturbance in the Gulf of Mexico is now Tropical Storm Bertha. Well, that
sounds like a driver.
That sounds intimidating. Big Bertha coming at you.
Sure does. You know, in 1998, I was at KBTX in College Station.
Yeah, you could just make up some letters.
All right. I was interning there. I was a junior at A&M in 1998, and Bertha was a storm back then. So it was a named storm. So it's never been big enough to get retired, right? But this sounds like a big storm kind of Bertha, but it's not.
We were just talking off air. Has anyone ever met an attractive Bertha?
Careful.
I know.
Is there a Bertha there that's that hot out there that I just have not aware of?
Okay.
Usually Bertha's, watch out, give it a wide swap.
Where is Bertha right now, Danny?
Bertha.
How strong?
It's growing, actually.
Oh,
it's up
boy.
To 60,
of course it is.
60 miles per hour wind. All right. 100 miles south of Destin, the Emerald Coast there. But convection is thunderstorms. There's another word for you guys. Convection is south of the center of circulation, so the fish are getting wet.
All right.
Coastal areas getting some wind, getting some little bit of some beach erosion, some coastal flooding possible. It's again, moving, check this out, north-northwest now at 3 miles per hour. So it's picked up forward speed from 2 earlier this morning. And it's going to pick up a little bit more and then head west, head south of Mobile tomorrow, head south of New Orleans tomorrow night, and Houston, Beaumont sometime Friday, early afternoon. But again, all the thunderstorm activity is offshore. It's getting a lot of wind in the upper levels from the northwest, what we call wind shear. So proximity to the coast and wind shear will keep this thing from becoming a major hurricane. If it were 200 miles south, we could have some problems.
Could Should we feel any impact at all from this?
Not at all. Not at all.
All right. I had my fingers crossed, but
yeah. In the hill country too, with all the rain, recent rain, right? And then they're watching this thing. But again, it's running into high pressure. That's this heat that we're baking. We'll just stomp it out as it comes into central Texas. Maybe it's some scattered daytime storms in those areas. But again, the flooding is going to be offshore with the storm.
And I'm glad you mentioned the heat. Well, not really, but 105 today?
Yeah, 105 today and tomorrow too. And so that's the excessive heat warnings. You know, a warning and an advisory, a heat advisory and a heat warning. I mean, you can almost merge those together. I mean, when it feels like it's 105 to 109, that's a heat advisory. If it's 110 plus, it's a heat warning. Either way, it's dangerous. But tomorrow, a front. You got a cold front coming in. They'll drop temperatures to 100 on Thursday and Friday.
Nice and cool. Breezy 100.
Yeah, but very
pull out the parka.
Dangerous, you know, people that have lived here most of their lives, we know to drink plenty of water. If you're a lot of people out with all the new construction around here, hopefully they know. High school football, I think the practices aren't starting yet.
No.
But again, they have to be really careful out there.
I think a lot
of
them have these indoor practice facilities now, too.
I hope so. But again, elderly as well and your pets, make sure they stay cool.
Exactly. I was going to say the elderly, because we talk about that a lot in the winter when it gets cold or there's ice. Check on your elderly neighbors. Do that here. Yeah, 105, nothing to mess around
and
with.
And inside your car, 130 plus. Look in the back seat if you're shuttling those small kids around when you're running errands, please.
That's sick that we have to remind people,
right?
There's a kid in the back. Remember
right.
that.
I know.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. All right, Danny, appreciate it. KRLD's chief meteorologist, Dan Brunoff, there with us. So we've got Bertha in the Gulf and heat right here.
Yeah, Bertha's not coming to our door, though, so maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Well, we've got back east, meanwhile, is the haze continuing from the wildfires up in Canada. And that smoke, you've probably seen pictures of it, maybe part of the reason, believe it or not, that President Trump has slapped an additional 50% tariff on certain products from Canada. Now, officially, the White House is calling it a, quote, punishment for Canada's discriminatory treatment of American cars, and alcohol, and dairy.
The list of affected Canadian products is wide-ranging. Dairy products, alcohol, and honey, along with a range of other grocery items. Also, construction materials, clothing, furniture, and electronics. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says the tariffs violate the free trade agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
That's ABC's Karen Hua.
To impose these tariffs in the wake of a Supreme Court decision against him earlier this year, President Trump is citing a never-before-used provision of a 1930 trade law, which could also face legal challenges.
You know something else that's going to be impacted by this? I read yesterday it was hockey sticks. Imported hockey sticks from Canada.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you, we've been whipping the Canadians for years in Canada. Maybe this is their way to get back.
Well, again, the White House says these new tariffs are in response to Canadian trade practices that it disagrees with. What they're downplaying are these comments we mentioned the president made this past weekend after talking with Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney about the smoke from the wildfires that has drifted south into the U.S.
I told him, I mean, you got to stop these fires from coming in and, you know, poisoning our air. Our air has been poisoned. I have a good relationship with Mark Carney, but, you know, we got to stop the fires up there. If we can help them, we'll help them. But maybe they should pay us some damages or something, or we should do some tariffs.
Yeah, okay. Ontario Prime Minister Doug Ford's response to that, he says, you know, some of these fires up here started in the U.S., in Minnesota.
Got to remind President Trump that there's 3.9 million acres burning in the United States right now. And if we had resources, we would send them down to our closest friends and allies. So, you know something, rather than criticize and threaten Canada, your closest friends, maybe one day you're going to need our help like you did last year, and we deployed the people. I get frustrated just listening to these a bunch of rubbish.
Rubbish,
yeah,
he says.
Yeah, that's when you're going really strong. Rubbish.
That is
the harshest word I can think of.
Strong word in Canada.
Rubbish.
So more on the tariffs coming up. We'll get to that when we come back, though. A home invasion targeting a star player in the NFL. Hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
And not just him, but his family, too.
They were inside when it happened.
They were there when it happened. We've got the story coming up next. The Mid-Morning Mic Check continues on KRLD right after this.
A deep dive into the day's top stories, weekdays from 10 to noon. This is the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The junk food that you will never give up. Just Pick one.
Well, immediately, people writing in.
It's National Junk Food Day. That's why we're asking. One listener says barbecue or jalapeno potato chips.
Kind of specific. I don't mind jalapeno stuff, but not big fan of a jalapeno potato chip.
The Miss Vickies are pretty good. However, there are many other things that I would not give up everything else just to keep the jalapeno potato chip. Same with this one, Jack in the Box tacos.
Ooh,
yeah,
they are good.
I know.
Especially, they have these mini tacos now.
That's the thing. You say they're good. They're not good, but they're oddly...
Something's in them to make them good.
They're just weirdly addictive.
Yeah. Almost like, I'll have another one. And they get those, like, I think 15 of those mini tacos now they throw in there. Great.
I read someone that they deep fry those things with the lettuce already in them.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, whatever they're doing, keep it up.
Keep it up. And then another vote for cheeseburgers.
Of course. You got to have cheeseburgers, especially in paradise.
945-766-1080. Which junk food would you not give up ever? Even if the doctor got down on his hands and knees and begged you.
Austin, this is going to kill you, man. I'm sorry, old sawbones.
Scary situation over the weekend when a group of thieves broke into the home of Eagles running back Saquon Barkley. But unlike other cases in the past, this group, they didn't wait until the house was empty. They broke in while Barkley, his fiance, and their two young children were inside.
Trenton Township Police say in the early hours Saturday, the suspects, who they believe drove this white SUV into this quiet Malvern neighborhood, made it inside the home of the Philadelphia Eagles running back.
I would ask anyone if you have any information from over the weekend between 4:30 a.m. to about 5:15. If you saw anything strange, please contact the Trenton Township Police Department.
While it doesn't appear anything was taken, officers say by the time they responded around 5 a.m., the alleged suspects were already gone.
It's still surprising that people would even take advantage of a person that is so valued in our community.
Barkley now joins a growing list of high-profile athletes targeted by criminals. With the new season just weeks away, the NFL has urged players to not post in real time, install or upgrade security systems, and to keep their valuables out of sight.
I'm just saying, this is scary to me because it's so easy for athletes. You know their schedule. You know they're going to be out of town for a game, but now they're busting in when the family is there. They don't care.
Right.
These homes are so big, it's not necessarily hard to get lost in a home without people being there finding.
And the point that this guy made, that the NFL is telling players, don't post on social media.
Yeah.
Real time. Don't say, hey, I'm out clubbing.
On a boat. Yeah, with my boys here partying it up.
In other words, I'm not at home. Feel free to break in and take whatever you want. Speaking of brazen thieves, let's talk more about copper. Copper is not a precious metal, but you never know it the way people are stealing it.
Boy, they love this stuff.
Told you yesterday about this guy who got arrested in Seattle for stealing the copper wiring out of the streetlights on one of that city's busiest bridges.
Didn't care. Gotta get it.
And today, thieves in Southern California targeting air conditioning units to strip them for copper parts.
The damage and financial hits have business and homeowners fuming. Among the latest targets, several businesses in Pasadena, including a pet hospital and a bakery, where the thieves stole copper wiring from a rooftop air conditioning unit. A sign the criminals are after the copper components and parts more than the air conditioning. Now, HVAC systems have also been gutted at businesses in Colorado, Nevada, and other states, making the summer heat wave even harder to handle.
I don't think it's necessarily targeted to one area or another. It's just kind of whatever is convenient for whoever's trying to steal that. If there's easy access to it, then that just entices people to steal it.
The financial damage is really the worst, because we're talking as a result of this situation. In the last month, it has cost me over $6,000.
In Louisiana, the recent theft of copper wiring has disabled some drainage pumps in Jefferson Parish, raising serious flooding concerns ahead of hurricane season. Those thieves, they were caught, but local leaders say the repairs will take months and cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, the copper theft problem has been described as a billion-dollar national security and infrastructure crisis, at times leaving some communities without public transit or even electricity at all.
Wow. It could cause the total blackout.
Now, I will tell you, if somebody messes with my AC when it's 105, I think in Texas you have the right to pull out a gun and shoot that guy. I don't care what about the copper.
We just had to get a new AC, and they put it up in the attic.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine if a guy went in there to get that copper?
Listen, if you're going to go up in that attic when it's 105 to steal copper, you're welcome to it.
You're going to really want it.
I have to admire your tenacity.
Well, that's true.
All right, when we come back, the Bison Man finally speaking out about the foot race he lost with that buffalo at Yellowstone.
We're still laughing at the video.
And he's still not out of the hospital.
No, he's like, what, 74 or whatever?
I got that for you coming up next. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
The junk food that you will never give up. He had to give up all of them except one. Which one would survive? 945-766-1080. You can let us know. Good suggestions here. Buttered popcorn.
Oh, that is good, though. From the movie theater kind, not just stuff you make at home.
It's best at the theaters, but I'll even eat the microwave if that's all I can get, according to one listener. Don from Waxahachie. He texts us and says, gotta have my Bluebell ice cream.
That's right. I mean, Texans love that stuff, and it is good. I mean, they've got so many flavors. They can't go wrong.
You know, it's a really good flavor. They rolled it out. It was supposed to be a short time thing back in 2000 for the Millennium.
Okay.
It was Millennium Crunch. Mm. And then
had that one.
After that, it was going to go away. It was so popular. They still sell it. That is good
all
stuff.
Right. I'll have to get some Millennium.
One listener says the McDonald's filet of fish, but is that really junk food?
Oh, what kind of fish is that?
Yeah, I can answer.
I remember our old pal Roger back in the day. I don't know what it is. I think it's Alaskan pollock or Alaskan something.
It's like fish sticks. Yeah. Whatever they put in fish sticks.
It's good. I love it.
It's just in a different shape. Trump loves those.
I'll have a few of them every now and then. That tartar sauce.
So you know how those got their started back in the 60s? The McDonald's realized that sales were dropping dramatically on Fridays because the Catholics wouldn't eat meat.
Ah, so they had to do something with the fish.
They added a fish sandwich.
Ah, they're always so bright, aren't they?
Crunchy Cheetos is on the list. Do you prefer the crunchy or the puffs?
I'm kind of a puff guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's something about that one. It doesn't feel as filling.
They're a little more addictive, I think.
Yeah, you can eat more.
Chips and salsa, but specifically Mercado Juarez chips and salsa.
All right, as long as it's Texas or Mexico.
And Lay's barbecue potato chips. Never going to give them up, says one listener in the 214.
They are good, especially Lay's. I think out of all the chip, I think the Lay's are pretty good. Pringles, I am a Pringles guy.
Oh, God. It's just pressed potato dust.
Pringles?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's great, though.
Or what do they say on The Simpsons? Potato sweepings.
Now that's right.
All right, as we continue the Mid-Morning Mic Check, I'm talking about the guy who got flipped in the air by an angry bison again. 2 weeks ago, this was at Yellowstone National Park. This guy is finally speaking out from his hospital bed.
All right, how old is this guy again? Was he 65?
No. Yeah, 65.
Okay.
Right. He's younger than me.
He looked 10 years older than you, though.
I know, right?
And he moved like it, too.
He's still in his hospital bed in Bozeman, Montana. In his own words, Carl Isom McDaniel began by stating the obvious.
They move faster than you could ever imagine. He just kept coming, and he was more aggressive, and as soon as he got off that tree, he launched me in the air.
Bozeman Health releasing this video where from his hospital bed, Carl McDaniel says he and his grandson were on a walk after dinner.
We saw the bison, and he was down. He wasn't showing aggression or anything like that until it picked a target. That target happened to be me.
McDaniel says he was trying to protect his grandson, who was unharmed, before the bison charged at him.
I didn't get bruises from him launching me in the air. It was the landing that came the problem.
McDaniel is recovering from a fractured hip, his doctor showing just how severe the damage was.
It was definitely clear that he had a pretty painful injury. It's actually broken in multiple pieces, and you can see some fragments here.
But despite those injuries,
I always felt safe and secure. I wasn't ever terrified.
Looking back, McDaniel says he knows just how lucky he was.
Even though I was on the ground, he could have stomped me, he could have gored me, could have done anything.
They showed the x-ray of this guy. He broke his femur, but he broke it way up high, right where it goes into the hip.
Oh.
You know, that ball and socket thing and mold. How do you recover from that?
I guess you just have to.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you got to stay still for a while. Can't be moving a lot.
Like months.
Yeah.
I would think.
Whatever happened to the bison? They didn't shoot that thing, did they?
I don't
think they would. Like a bear, if a bear mauls you or or a mountain lion mauls somebody and kills them, it's like we can't have them be that aggressive because they've got that bloodlust.
No, says the bison that seriously injured a tourist in Yellowstone was not euthanized.
All right, good.
Park officials announced no management action would be taken.
That's right. Boy, got what's coming to him.
And you just found this one. Love this story.
Guy, this is just crazy.
This could have been Florida. Easily,
okay, an Arizona man was arrested in Colorado after witnesses reported him breaking into a Union Pacific train and then getting on top of that train, surfing it while it was moving, but he was doing it all while he was naked.
Oh, the naked part. Okay.
That's right. He was swinging around, having fun, showing off everyone his birthday suit. When he was finally arrested, he told the guys, and this, by the way, this mugshot is great. He can't even look at the camera. He's looking up at the ceiling. The
mugshot's awesome.
He's telling the guys, 37 years old, telling the officers, I love three things, vodka, beer, playing banjo. I don't know, man.
Up naked on that boxcar.
And
God,
he admitted, I had the first two today.
Yeah.
Vodka and beer.
The vodka and the beer. Yeah.
I don't know if he'd played that banjo yet.
You know, in a weird way, I've always wanted to do that, to get up on top of a train. Not naked.
Not naked.
You know, but my luck, a tunnel would be coming up.
When you're young and stupid, you do things. At ASU, I actually got on top of a car like Teen Wolf and thought,
oh.
We went 15 and I thought I was going 100 miles an hour. But it was scary and it was dark and we were stupid for doing it.
And it was dumb. You do dumb things when you're young.
We do.
Although this guy's 37,
I live to tell about it, though.
Right?
Yeah, I wasn't drinking beer and vodka, though, or playing banjo.
When we come back, a new and very realistic doll, too realistic perhaps, designed to teach kids about childbirth. But is it too much for some of them to handle?
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Trump is meeting at the White House right now with the president of Lebanon, who we've decided looks a lot like Kojak.
That's right. Telly Savalas. Who loves you, baby?
You give him a lollipop, and it's like you're Telly
beautiful.
Savalas reanimated.
He does, except if you add maybe 20 pounds, that's what it
kind
looks
of a
like.
Chunkier Kojak.
Yeah, that's right.
The war with Iran heating up. They're talking about that at the White House. And that means gasoline prices are on the rise again, topping $4 a gallon again for the first time in more than a month.
At least for now, gas prices are rising in virtually every state for gasoline and diesel. It's not a surprise given the new developments over the last week as the U.S. and Iran return to escalations. And it's hard to know how long these escalations could last.
Gas buddies Patrick DeHaan, gasoline, it's now officially $4.02 a gallon nationally. That's up from $3.86 one week ago.
As soon as I tried to start filling up my car, I looked up at the price. I'm like, oh my gosh. Gas went up again.
It's not enjoyable to fill up the gas anyway, but it makes it worse. Yeah.
Here in Texas, the statewide average is now at 361. We've jumped up to 361. That ranges from 357 in Tarrant County. Tarrant County has the cheapest gasoline in the state
in the
of
state.
Texas. Now.
Okay.
All the way up to 441 in Brewster County, out in the Big Bend.
Okay.
It's hard to get the gas out.
Yeah,
there.
I can see how that could affect that.
And is it a good learning tool, or is it something that gives kids the wrong idea about childbirth?
Oh boy,
talking about a new doll. It's made by a company in New Zealand called Zuru Toys. A pregnant woman with a removable belly and a lifelike uterus on the backside of that belly.
You know how many people are going to abuse this for their own sick pleasures?
And everything is in there, too. The baby, the umbilical cord, the placenta, and this uterus is filled with gel.
Oh, I would never want to see this.
Presumably, that is the amniotic fluid. You just squeeze it until the gel comes out along with the baby. Pops right out. Here's the best part for the mom anyway. After you remove the baby bump and you pop that baby out of the uterus, then you can flip it around again and you're left with a completely flat stomach.
With nice abs to
go
with it.
Because as any woman can tell you, that's the way it works in real life.
Of course.
Pros and cons of this. Lucy Baker runs a blog called The Geriatric Mom and says she likes it.
I'm really for this, Sol. I think if we can talk about birth, normalize it, look at some of the sort of gruesome sides of it, because let's face it, I mean, I've had three children and it is not pretty. So if we can normalize that in households, have those conversations, really start to kind of open that up so that my 7-year-old boy, for example, gets to understand what birth is really like, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, well, except for the fact that this is not what birth is really like. For one thing, it's not a natural or vaginal birth. This is more like a C-section with a revolving door.
Yeah, you just flip it around.
And critics of the doll, like this mother of five, they've got a problem with that. If you're going to do something like this, they say, at least try to make it accurate.
I think it's the oversimplification of the whole birth process, and it misses out on so many key points because toys help children shape the way they see the world. And not every time when there is an opportunity for play are parents around to help expand that conversation, as in like, no, but it actually takes this. So they may have already formed that simplified ideology of what birth and pregnancy looks like before having the opportunity to have those conversations in the first place.
And you're suggesting that there are some,
yeah, is a doll
some
hot
sick people out there who are going to buy one of these. And
that's right. Is there an attractive looking mother here?
Oh, I don't know. It's just like some Barbie type
I'm just
thing.
Saying this isn't going to go. I mean, there's going to be sales of this. I don't necessarily know if there's going to be too many educators buying it.
And then, you know, once you squeeze the uterus and the gel comes out, how do you get the gel back in?
You just re-put some more gel in there?
It's like a one and done kind of thing? Weird.
Don't worry, some sickos are going to find out.
Kind of love life these days.
I know.
Coming up, Governor Abbott's about face on data centers. We'll get to that. Hour number two of the Mid-Morning Mic Check is just ahead. Mike and Austin here. Stay with us.